some of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. You say I'm held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, well, you say I'm yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Everything that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think that I'm weak. You say I'm held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, you say that I'm yours. And I believe. Oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. And you have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory. Oh, you say that I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think that I'm weak. You say I'm held when I am far short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I'm yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. And I believe, yes, I believe what you say of me.
Praise God. Thankful for the PowerPoint program, because my program with that song quit working when I started it. Praise God. Praise God. There's no one like our God, amen. God of the city, you're the king of his people, you're the Lord of this nation. You are, you're the light in this darkness,
You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this today. And greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here. You're the Lord of creation, the creator of all things. You're the king above all kings. You are. You're the strength in the weakness. You're the love to the broken. You're the joy in the sadness. You are. For there is no one like our God. Oh, there is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. When glory shines from hearts alive with praise for you and love for you in this today. Oh, greater things are yet to come, greater things are still to be done in this today. Come, and greater things are still to be done here. There is no one like our God. 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 There is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come, greater things are still to be done in this city. Alive with praise for you and love for you in this city. Oh, and greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Oh, and greater things are yet to come, and greater to be done here. Oh, great things have yet to come, great things are still to be done in this city. still to be done here.
Aren't you glad that God has a plan? He has a plan in your life. He has a plan just like we were singing in this city. But He's got a plan throughout all of the world. Oh, hallelujah. He has bought you with a price and washed you in the blood and the water of the Word to be able to allow His glory to shine through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But the only way they can come to repentance is they've got to hear about the saving grace of Jesus. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. If you would, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. The grace of God is still on my heart, and there's several things that the Lord has been just stirring in my spirit. You know, we usually translate the grace of God as unmerited favor, and that's one definition. But the best definition from the Greek is divine influence upon the heart. And the grace of God allows your heart, my heart, to be touched and influenced by Him, by His truth, by the reality of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is alive and well. He's living on the throne of your heart, my heart, amen? And He's got a plan. But for that plan to be manifested in a reality, in a way that will touch people's lives, God has chose to use you, His church. And so, I would like to look at five steps of grace this morning. We'll see how it goes, that we need to receive and to walk in. You know, we have unmerited favor, yes. But beyond that, we've got saving grace. We've got to believe in the saving grace of God. But we can't stop there. The grace of God transforms you and I. The grace of God empowers you and I, and the grace of God enables us to endure until the end. And if we're not maturing in all of those steps of the grace of God, we're going to be lacking. And you and I are to lack in no good thing. God said those who walk uprightly, they lack no good thing. He will withhold no good thing. God's got good things for us, but we've got to be in the position to receive them. Amen? All right, Romans, very familiar verses of Scripture. Just to lay a text with the thought of grace. Romans chapter 3, let's read verses 23 and 24. If you're there, say amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 25. Whom God has sent forth, God done it for us, amen. Whom God has sent forth, Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation, an atonement, glory, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It goes on in verse 26 to say that when you believe in Jesus, you have been justified by the justifier. Amen? The grace of God, it is the focal point of your life and my life because it is Jesus. It is Emmanuel. It is God with us. It is that Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God is smarter than your enemy, than my enemy. Amen? From the foundation of the world, He had it all figured out, and we can rest in that truth. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this service, Lord. Thank you for each and everybody here with a hearing here, Lord.
Yes.
And instill their mind, Lord, and instill it in our heart, Lord, the living Word is coming forth, living out of our lives, Lord. And I pray that
Amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you so much for standing and honoring the Word of God. I want you and I just to be in a place this morning where grace is not something that we talk about, but grace is something that we are so familiar with, that is so tangible to us, that it's something that we live. And the reality of that is the fact. That is the foundation. You and I, we are alive unto God this morning only because of His grace. And if God's grace can bring life to me that was lost and undone, that was dead in trespasses and sins, and the same for you, then the grace of God, if we will allow it, if we will step into it, it will bring the fullness of what Jesus accomplished in His lifetime, cultivating by coming out of that tomb. Amen? It will be manifested in your life and my life. So I want us just to break some things down, and we're going to build on this, Lord leading God, in the next few weeks. I want to talk about, go with me to the book of, let's go to 1 Peter first. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's read a couple verses about the grace of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, notice what it says. But the God of all grace, I don't know about you, but I'm just starting to understand some of the aspects of grace, some of the dimensions of grace, some of the facets of grace. But my God, your God, our Father, He is the God of all grace. That word is all-inclusive. And it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. You've got a calling on your life. Amen? I got a calling on my life. And God is the one that done it through His Son. And notice, it's by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Now, you and I, we go through things in this life. But you know, I love what Peter wrote here. That from the Greek, this word where he says, after you suffered from a while, that while in the Greek, it's puny. P-U-N-Y, puny. A small amount of time in consideration to what Jesus has went through and accomplished and planned out from the foundation of the world for us. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. A complete, thorough individual of God, for God. Amen? The sufferings that you go through, that I go through, the things, the afflictions, the working of the enemy, all they do is allow the grace of God to be manifested in your life and my life, making us more like Jesus Christ, making the Word of God real, tangible, something that somebody out in a lost and dying world in a situation without God can see that God's alive and well. Come on now, that's power. It says it will perfect you and I. It will establish us, strengthen us, and settle us. It'll put us on the foundation. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So here it's the Word of God is telling us that this first part of God's grace that we want to talk about, in that God is the God of all grace, is the unmerited favor part. The unmerited favor. Now, if you talk to different people in the world that don't know God like you know God, they haven't met God through Jesus Christ. They haven't had the leadership of the Spirit of God to show them this grace, to show them that God is a loving God. You turn on the television, you get on the internet, and you see so many angry people. And they hate, and they don't even know why. And there's all kinds of unrighteousness that's being promoted, and they're right now as a nation, we're fulfilling Isaiah chapter 5 to a T. We're calling evil good and good evil. Amen? And we're not only accepting it, we're embracing it. I'm not talking about the church, but I'm talking about as a nation. We're in perilous times. We're on very dangerous ground. When you look and you see the finger that was poked in God's eye this past week with the decision about abortion, we're getting in a place where God's wrath can't help but fall. And so you and I, in this time of grace, we have got to learn that there is a harvest out there. There is people out there who have been hurt in church. They have been hurt. They've been damaged by the world, by the devil. And the God of all grace is wanting to raise you and I up to tell them God is not an evil God. God's not a hateful God. God's not a vindictive God. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because God is so holy, so righteous, He has got to judge the sin that is in this world. Amen? But He's got an unmerited favor about Him that I want you and I to be so familiar with that we can communicate to people who are out in a lost situation. Now, turn with me to the book of Genesis, and let's look at this. Let's examine it just a little bit. They have been convinced by the world that God is so mean. I want us to look and see how good God is, or we'll have something to tell people. Now, you know Genesis chapter 3 very well. It talks about the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. He comes and he brings a word that is contrary to the word of God. And Eve and Adam, they do what they shouldn't do. And we could get into all the theological point of that. But I want you to look after the sin happened, after the transgression took place. Look what God does. In verse number 15, we have the first messianic promise of Jesus Christ, Genesis 3:15. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to the serpent and to Eve. And He said, in between thy seed and her seed. Now, we could get into a lot of things here and cause a lot of uproar. But I want you to understand that there's two seeds. And you and I, we want to be of the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We want to be of that lineage. And notice the promise here. Jesus Christ will, what? Bruise the head of the serpent. And the very heel of Jesus Christ, as He was placed on that cross, it was bruised. But Jesus destroyed. John very clearly talked about how Jesus come. Hebrews 2:14 talks about it. He destroyed the works of the devil. Amen? The power, the head force of it. Now, this is the unmerited favor of God. Here, God is dealing with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had one commandment. One. Just stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. Adam should have been taking care of the garden. He didn't. He let the serpent in time and time again. And all of this happened. And we could get into that, but we won't. But I want you to see the favor of God. God could have said, forget it. Wiped them out right there, you and I wouldn't be sitting here. That's unmerited favor. That's a God that we serve. God loves us so much that this didn't catch Him off guard. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. From the foundation of the world, God done knew. Come on now. That gives us comfort this morning. Our God knows. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're struggling with. And He has the answer of grace to help you and I make it through all of those things. But I want us to look at the love of God just a little deeper in a way that maybe we've never looked at it before. Drop down to verse number 21. Now, notice this. It says, unto Adam also and to his wife did God make coats of skin and clothe them. Because what? They knew they were naked. They lost the glory of God. God, who is a God of love and a God of perfect creation, He made a sacrifice. There was an animal sacrifice to clothe them, and there was blood shed that would roll back, not take away, but would roll back their sin, their situation. This is the God that we're talking about. Now, there's people out there today. They're dilly-dallying with sin. They're in a mess. They're confused. Their life is all turned up down. There's people that are doing all sorts of things that's wrong that the devil has convinced them there's no consequence of, and their mind has become perverted. It's become twisted. We know how we thought before the Spirit of God come in us and started transforming us. Amen? So we need to give them the same grace that God gave us. If anybody's going to be reached, they're going to be reached by the Spirit of God bringing Jesus through His church. Amen? Now notice the love of God. I get so excited about this. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Now see, the world says, look how mean God is. They go and they just take a bite of a fruit. That's what the world says. That's not what the Bible says, but that's what the world says. They take a bite and they now, this hateful God banishes them. Now, notice what it says. "Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Verse 24, "So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now, whether we believe it or not, whether we've thought about it or not, this is unmerited favor. If God hadn't done this, what would have happened? Adam and Eve would have went back into the garden. They would have partook of the tree of life, and they would have lived forever in damnation. They would have lived forever in sin. They would have lived forever in a fallen state. That's the loving God that you and I serve. He's not willing for people. He's not willing for you and I or anybody in the world to have to live in that state. He's made a way where they can come out of that if they will only choose life rather than choose death. He's put a decision before us. He said, look, you make the choice. You choose life, you choose good. Or you choose death, you choose bad. But you have a free choice. That's unmerited favor. God loves us that much. And so when we look out into the world, you look through the eyes of God. And you see the things that someone's doing. You don't judge it, but you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let the compassion that moved Jesus, let it move me. Open my mouth. Open my heart. Open me up to a place in the position where I can share something that will show them that God's not a God wanting to fry them in hell, but He's a God that wants to save them and give them grace that will change everything about their destiny. Amen? That's the unmerited favor of God. That's the God that they need to be introduced to. That's the God that will take the anger and swallow it up in love. Come on now. He'll swallow it up in love. So how do we do this? How do we take this message out there? You and I, we've got to be in the place where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know that we are saved. And we're letting that salvation work in us. We can go to many scriptures, but go to the book of Titus. The book of Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number 11. And we could go to Ephesians 2:8. But I wanted to go to something that you wouldn't as familiar with. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God. Now what does it do? The grace of God bringeth salvation. Now, by grace you are saved through faith. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to the pretty, to the rich. All. That word appeared means there's a light that's shining, and that light is Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, glory. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Jesus Christ, one day in your life, that's why you're sitting here this morning, you were surrounded by darkness. You were surrounded by anger. Sin was dominating you. It was controlling you. You were struggling. You were trying to get your next breath. And all of a sudden, there was a little light that came on in your heart. There was a revelation that there was something better. There was something different. There was a revelation that tugged on your heart. And there was a love that started coming up inside of you. And you started to recognize and realize that there was something more than where you were at. There was something better than what you were doing. There was a hope beyond your discouragement. There was a reality that you were born for a destiny. There was an understanding that you had a gifting in your life. You had a call on your life. That there was something that was going to be different, and all you had to do was call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? That's the saving grace of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon Him unless there's a preacher? That's why you and I have got to see that we've been called into the ministry of reconciliation. We have the anointing on our lives. We have the call on our lives. We have the gifting working within us to be able to bring people together. Amen. Have you ever noticed that before you got saved, and we can be honest if we would, we could really go into a situation and we could stir up a lot of trouble. And you might have the group of 5, 6, 8, 10 people, and before you know it, everybody's separated. Because you see, the devil, he uses and perverts what God gives for the negative. So the way that we used to separate people, now we can bring them together. So the grace of God that has appeared to us is unmerited favor, but it's saving. It changes you. Acts chapter 15, I think it's verse 11. Notice this. It says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord. How many believe this? I believe it, don't you? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord, Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And, of course, this is the great council, the church council. But anyway, I want you to see it, that God's grace is what empowers you and I to be saved. And that word saved, it's so much more. You got sozo, that's translated salvation. You got sotera, which is translated salvation. But what they mean, it means, yes, you're saved from hell in one sense, but the deeper sense of it is you have liberty, you have deliverance, you have victory, you have freedom. You have all of these things to enjoy what Jesus brought to you. And that's life, amen? That's abundant life. And so this is the message to people. I know somebody who can cause you to enjoy even if you're eating bread and water. I know somebody that you're going through a storm, you're going through a trial, and it doesn't matter what it is, but out of your heart will come a word of joy, will come a song of praise, will cause you to be content in whatever situation you're in. Amen? That's the message to tell people. And that's what we've been anointed and called to do. But we've got to step into these things in our own life for it to be a reality, for it to be tangible, for it to be touchable, in other words, by other people. Do you believe that? Now, Romans chapter 12, this is how it takes place. Romans chapter 12, this is what the grace of God has to do in every believer's life. Verse number 1, Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, I call you near, he says in the Greek, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, better translated, worship. This is your reasonable worship that you give your body to the Lord. Verse number 2, how do you do it? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a grace of God that will empower you and I to have our mind renewed. Renewed from the way we used to think, the way that we used to feel. Do you recognize and realize everything that is a hindrance to you and I today, the things that happened when we were younger, the things that happened especially when we were little? The devil knew what God had spoke over your life. The devil knew in part the giftings and the calling of God. And so what did he do? He brought hurt. He brought adversity. He brought trouble and things in your life. Wounds. He wanted to wound your spirit, my spirit, where we would not be able to do what God called us to do. But God has a transforming grace. A grace. But that transforming grace is that you're willing to lay down your life for the life that Jesus died to give you. That he died to give me. And the way you can receive that is by the Word of God. That you and I, this Word is the most precious thing to us. Nothing is more precious. We need to turn off the TV and open up the Bible. We need to open up our heart and close our eyes to the outside world and look to the Spirit of God that is in us and see what He would say to us. There's little things in my life that He's revealing to me that's causing big problems. Big problems. But if I'll give them to Him, He'll change that for His glory. Amen? Now notice what He says. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, how is this done? Through the grace given unto me, through all of us, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All three of these verses, and we usually just read the first two, but all three tied together to give us the revelation, to give us the unction, to give us the understanding. Now, God is looking for a church today that will get out of His permissive will. He wants us to get even out of the good situations and get into the perfected, the mature, the complete will of God. And the only way that'll happen is by His grace. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. We can't say, I am going to do this. You know how many times I've said that? I had to repent to God for lying. I meant it. I can do nothing. I've got to have His grace. I've got to have Jesus Christ working in every area of my life to overcome. But through Him, by Him, I am an overcomer. Through Him, by Him, I learn how to speak words that cause me to overcome. I learn how to speak words that bring life. I learn how to speak words that activate angels all around me and silence the very working of hindering spirits. Amen? Let's look at a second witness to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. I'll read 17. We quote it all the time or paraphrase it. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But notice this. Verse 18. But we all, he's talking to the whole church, amen, at Corinth. So he's talking to us. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now what happens? When we take time to close our natural eyes and open up our spiritual eyes, he says, as we look into this glass of the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now this word changed is the same Greek word, metamorpho, that's translated transform in Romans 12:2. Same word. So Paul is saying the same thing. The Word of God changes us. Here he's talking about looking into Jesus Christ, who is the Word, changes us. And so there is a glory upon the Lord. And every time we look by the anointing, we look and we receive what He's saying to us at that moment, there's a change. And that change is that you're allowed to lay down part of your life on the altar of God that once was dominating you, dominating me, controlling you, controlling me, and what? And use it for worship. Oh, that makes me want to shout, because I've got some areas in my life that I worship the devil. I'm sorry. I served the devil. I didn't do it knowingly. I didn't understand it. But now, but I can come into the perfect, mature will of God. I can lay that down, and what was once used for harm can be used for help. What was once used for the enemy is now used for the glory of Jesus Christ. But I have got to do it by grace. I've got to see that I can sit down in the Lord. And when I get alone in the Lord, His Holy Spirit... John 16:13, Jesus makes this promise. He said the Holy Spirit would what? He would lead you and guide us into some truth. All truth. Well, that's the Spirit of the Lord that brings liberty. Amen? Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:31, I believe it is. John 8:37, whom the Son makes free, the Son is the Word, whom the Son makes free, is free indeed. Glory. Now this is what the grace of God will do in our lives. And this is the message we've got to take out there. The message that you hear today is, boy, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you don't have to go to hell. That's not the gospel. The good news is, Jesus Christ has done went there for me. He went and got the keys of hell, death, and the grave. Jesus Christ was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, made sin that I, that you, the believer, could become the righteousness of God. Amen? That's what we've got to tell people. This is a gospel of love, not a gospel of hate. This is a gospel of hope, not a gospel of wish. You've got to have hope. Hope and faith work together. Okay. Now notice one more time. He said, but we all. So there's nobody left out. He said, if we all with an open face beholding the glass of the glory. That glass is the reflection of Jesus. Now what happens when you look into a mirror? What do you see? What does the Christian see? You see who you are in Jesus Christ. You see who you are. You are a soul winner. You're white as snow, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have a calling on your life. You have a new name written upon you. Come on now. But you'll never be all of those things. I'll never be all of those things unless I step into this grace. Unless I let the grace of God be unmerited favor. Let it save me, but let it transform me. We've got to be transformed. Amen? But also the grace of God, it'll do more than that. It will empower you. 2 Timothy 2. There's many verses of Scripture that deals with this too, but I'm going to run out of time if I don't hurry. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou, therefore, my son, Paul encouraging and building up, and we need to receive it. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let the dunamis power of Jesus Christ empower us. Same word, Philippians 4:13. We quote it all the time, but same word in Philippians 4:13. I can, you can. We can be content. We can be a witness. We can be mature for the Lord because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That strength, that in dunamo, that dunamis power. It abides in you. The Bible says, let the weak say they're what? Instead, we sit around and talk about how weak we are, how sinful we are, how we can't do this and we can't do that. No, we're going to say what Jesus says, and we're going to do what Jesus does in us and through us, because He's the source. He's just looking for a vessel, amen? Can you believe that you're the vessel of the Lord? Sure you can. But real quickly, not only will the grace of God empower you, and I wish we had time to look at it, but it will enable you, enable I to endure. Go to Mark 13:13, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 4. But quickly, Mark 13:13, look what Jesus Christ says. Of course, He's teaching about the fulfillment of all things, but He makes this statement, and it's coming to pass. He says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he or she, no gender intended, the child of God, that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, he reiterates this in Matthew 24 and alludes to it in Luke 21, Luke 17. So this is an important statement. And it puts us a time frame on where we're at. And we need to recognize the benchmarks that the Lord gives us, because we're in a benchmark right now that is fixing to change. And we need to recognize it and do all that God's called us to do while we have an opportunity to do it. Amen? All right, now notice He said, you shall endure unto the end. You have to. The same shall be saved. Now go with me to Mark chapter 4. How do we do this? We do it by the grace of God, bringing the Word of God to us. And you've got the parable of the sower here. Notice he talks about in verse number 3, he said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." And, of course, we know that this sower is Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, and the seed is the Word of God. But he goes through all of these situations. Look at verse number 14. Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word, and these that are by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise are sown on the stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root. Now this is why I wanted to read this. Look at verse 17. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. The only way that you and I can endure for the long run is by the grace of God, we receive the Word of God. We can't pick and choose. Every day God has fresh manna for each one of us. And if we're not in the place of receiving that fresh manna, I'm sorry, you're going to struggle that day. I'm going to struggle that day, and we're going to have to make it through in a different level of God's grace. God doesn't want to operate that way. Amen? And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when the affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Scandalon in the Greek, it's where we get our English word scandal. You and I are going to be offended if we don't know how much God loves us, if we're not living this by the grace of God, because the world is going to hate you. Jesus said the world hated me, and that the disciple was not above his. He said, if they hated me, they will hate you. And so we've got to see that. We've got to recognize that. We've got to believe that and understand it. And we've got to be in the place and the position where, by the grace of God, we receive the Word of God, where we can endure. Let the Word have root in you. What would keep the Word from having root in you? We could be hard-hearted toward a part of the Word. Or we could have other things growing in there. He goes into great detail. I don't have time to break all of that down. You and I have got to come to Him and say, Lord, here's my heart. And I know that You want to give me a brand new heart. I give You permission. And I'll be right there with You. I'll help You plow this up. I'll help You. I'll do whatever You tell me to do, because I want the grace of God to endure. To get some saved and get them in the position where they don't have to perish, there's going to be some that are going to be really hard on you. They're going to be rough. They're going to be nasty. They're going to strike back against you. But because God's grace is familiar to you and operating in you, you're going to be able to do like Jesus did. Look at them and marvel. And you're going to be able to have compassion. That does not stop the message. That does not stop your action. That does not stop because it's not you, but it's the grace of God in you and through you. We're going to see some of the hardest of the hardest come to Jesus Christ. You feel the anointing on that? I believe it with all of my heart. It's going to be such a miraculous thing that God's going to bring them out, and they're going to be able to bring people out that you and I would never have an audience with, but because God saved them, they're going to have an opportunity to have an audience with the King in the presence of all of those who are willing to say, I have no prejudice. I don't judge people by what they look like, what they smell like, what they act like. I believe that God can save them by grace just the way He saved me. Amen? Hallelujah. I know it's late. I'll close with this thought. This is how big God's grace is. And if anybody's ever had somebody saved in their life that's been lost their whole life, then this will touch your heart. And you'll understand where I'm coming from. 5 years ago today, I get a call from my mom. And she says, my grandpa, his name was Raymond. She said, can you come down here? Said, he is just so uneasy, so anxious. He thinks he needs to get saved. Now, you got to realize that on the 15th of January, just a few days before, he turned 90 years of age. Now, I spent my whole Christian life witnessing to him, talking to him, praying for him, and he was a good man. But he was going to go to hell. Good men, good women don't go to heaven without the blood of Jesus. So he had always told me, he didn't discourage me from going to church, but he always told me, he said, you know that you're like a dog. And when you die, you go to the grave and you rot and that's it. He believed that with all of his heart. But when I got down there, the Spirit of God was all in that room. Amen. And I got the privilege of leading him in the sinner's prayer. And he looked at me and he said, you mean that's all it took? He said, I could have been saved all these years ago? Yes. The weight that was in around him just lifted. He died that November. And no doubt, by the grace of God, is in heaven. That's how good God is. 90 years old. Run from God his whole life, but God was there. But now what we got to recognize is that when God is dealing with somebody, that's the time that you and I have got to go. He couldn't have been saved the next day. He could have been saved the day before. If I hadn't have put down everything that was happening and went right then, God has a time and a season for everything. And so what we've got to do as a group of people who love Jesus and who are stepping into these levels of grace to be changed from glory to glory, we've got to tell God whenever, whoever. whenever, whoever. And guess what? You're going to see things happen like you never dreamed possible. The book of Acts is going to come alive in the name of Jesus. Amen? But we've got to be in that place, in that position. This morning, the Spirit of God wants to transform some things in your life and my life. He wants to show you a realm of glory in Christ, a reflection of who you are by the blood that you've never saw. Because that will empower you to be able to do what He's asking you to do. So in the name of Jesus, these altars are open. And I asked you to come. And I asked you to come and say, Lord, whatever you would show me, whatever you would reveal to me, whatever you have placed in and on my life, by your grace, I'll operate in it. And if you will do that, and if I will do that, unbelievable things will happen. Would you come in the name of Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, whatever need might be in this place right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you just touch each person. Reveal to them your love, your grace, your mercy. Stir people. If there's anyone here who has pulled away from you, I ask that you would reveal your love to them. If there's anyone here who needs to be born again, Lord, touch and draw every person. Let the reality of Jesus Christ be revealed to them. Let the Spirit of God touch them and inspire them to give everything to you, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus, touch our children. Lord, I speak a blessing on our children. Let their eyes become open. Let their heart become open. Let them receive truth like they never have. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.